Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Tonight, Eternal Lanes of Joy, written and directed by Pat Collins. The drama recreates Patrick Kavanagh's epic journey on foot from his home in County Monaghan to Dublin in the year 1931. This was a pilgrimage of sorts, a symbolic journey that would affirm his idea of himself as a poet. When he reached Dublin, he went directly to the house of George Russell, or A.E. as he was known. Russell had already published some of Kavanagh's poems in the Irish Statesman and would become one of Kavanagh's guiding lights. He gave the visiting poet an anthology of Japanese poetry, as well as books by Dostoevsky, Melville and James Stevens, among others. Eternal Lanes of Joy weaves together Kavanagh's writings, dramatised scenes, new writing, archival sources and a rich soundtrack of footsteps, nature and all that we imagine Kavanagh may have heard along the way. Michael Murphy plays Patrick Kavanagh, both as the poet on the road and the older Kavanagh looking back. Michael is joined by Catherine Walsh, Rosaline Linehan, John McCardle, John Connors, Charlene McKenna, Eamon Owens and Eamon Hunt. We begin in the year 1962 in a TV studio in RTE when Kavanagh, then in his late 50s, is speaking to camera for the self-portrait series. With nature recordings by Chris Watson and original music by Irene Buckley, this is Eternal Lanes of Joy, written and directed by Pat Collins.
I dislike talking about myself in a direct way. The self is only interesting as an illustration. For some strange reason, whenever we talk about our personal lives, it turns out to be both irrelevant and untrue. Even when the facts are right, the mood is wrong. English commercial publishers and newspapers are mad for personal data, especially about people from Irlandia. They love Irish men. America is now even worse. And the unfortunate peoples of my island home lap all this vulgarity up. For a long time at home in Mucker, I had been imagining that literary people would be interesting to meet, George Russell A.E. in particular. But greater than my desire to meet the exalted beings of literature was the road hunger in my heart that cried out for dusty romance. I had listened to the journeymen shoemakers and the common tramps. I had read Jim Tully and Patrick McGill. The blood of tramps was in my veins. My father's father had come from the West, and he had taken the road Queen Maeve took when the cattle fancier was on the chase of the brown bull of Cooley. Finally, at the age of, what was it, 26 or 27, in any case, it was one day in the year of 1931, I said to my mother,
I'm going on a bit of a journey.
Whoosh! Whoosh! Get away out of that. What was that?
I said, I'm going on a bit of a journey.
A journey?
Aye, as far as Dublin.
What nonsense are you up to now?
I'm going up to meet the man who put my poems in the Irish Statesman.
I declare, you're a curiosity.
And I'm setting out the first thing in the morning. And I'm going to walk.
Walk? You're going to walk? To Dublin?
Aye.
And a train practically passing the door.
I know.
And your uncle's bicycle leaning against the gable end of the house outside.
Not much of a bike.
With two new tyres on it. How long is it going to take you to walk?
3 days, 2 nights, I reckon.
It's a terrible pity that you wouldn't take a better interest in your work and you could be the independentest man in Ireland.
Ach, mummy.
You could tell all the beggars to kiss your arse. The rhyming is all right, but I don't see anything in it. Sure, if I saw anything in it, I'd be the last person to say a word against it. 'Twould fit you better to be cleaning the drain in the meadow and not have the flood drive us out of this place.
I'm walking to Dublin and I don't care if the flood in the meadow rises as high as the flood that floated Noah above Ararat.
She took it all in good part and gave me all the change that was in the house. My brother Peter was privy to my adventure. He was 15 years old then and gave me good practical advice. Don't go near the well-housed people, you'll get nothing from them. Go to the small cottages, he said. The people with nothing to give. And you should take a second pair of socks, or at least one clean pair. I wore my working clothes and boots. On my trousers were the tramp necessary rectangular knee patches. My jacket was ragged and my boots were a hobnailed pair of my own making. I made the great mistake in not taking a second pair of socks. Or at least one clean pair. It was a beautiful morning, bright and crisp. One could almost imagine summer in the air. Summer was in my imagination at any rate. I was going down the road of my dreams. I was off. I walked at a brisk pace for the first 5 or 6 miles. I knew this part of the road too well, and the road and its people knew me. I wanted as quickly as possible to get on the strange roads, where romance, wearing gold earrings, was waiting for me.
As I hear the sweet voice sing in the clear air.
From my home in Mucker to Mullacrew.
Hello.
From Mullacrew to Ardee. From Ardee to Ballapoosta.
For a tender beaming smile to my hope has been granted, and tomorrow.
I'm now 10 miles from home in a strange country. Left foot tender, cold water is a balm. The scent of the new mown hay in my nostrils, the hum of bees vibrating in the hazy blue air. The pulse beat of life, sharp and intense. Time to test my begging skills. I looked around me and selected a snug, well-kept house a few perches off the main road. A whitewashed, thatched cottage. An ideal house, I said to myself.
Who's there? What do you want?
A bite to eat, woman. If you can spare it.
I've only a bit eaten of bread, but come in. God help you, my poor fella, or anybody has no home. Foxes have dens, the birds of the air have nests, but the son of man has nowhere to lay his head. Where are you bound for?
For Dublin.
Lord bless us. God be with you on the Dublin road where nobody ever had any luck. I might be half blind, but I'm thinking you're not a tramp at all. I don't mean to insult you, but I'm thinking you're up to some cod acting. I'd know a real tramp. A seasoned tramp is never bound for anywhere in particular.
I'll take your word for it.
A tramp needs to be going somewhere till he gets used to going nowhere. Take this. It's a bit stale.
Thank you, ma'am. An archaeologist could spend his life studying this lump of bread.
You don't have to eat it if you don't want to.
Sure, you have to be saying something.
Are you married?
No. Are you?
Thanks for asking. There are three classes of men a woman should never marry. A delicate man, a drunken man, and a lazy man. I had the misfortune to have them all in one.
Sorry to hear it. Maybe he was just a dreamer, like myself, I suppose. It's a grand, cosy place you have here.
It is, thank God.
I saw an old barn a few fields back. Do you think it'd be okay to throw myself down there for the night?
It's a long time since any man or beast slept in that shed. But you're welcome to us, what there is of us.
Thanks, ma'am.
Hello?
The old, deserted barn is somber. Corrugated sheets half on, half off. Rusty and wind-warped and old. On the floor, the remains of hay cut and saved 20 years ago. Wisps of straw still golden. Calling from the wilderness of the meadow. O guiding night, O night more lovely than the dawn. Wrapped to starriness, not quite, I go through fields and fens of night. The nameless, the void, where ghostly poplars whisper to a silent countryside. Splendors of Greek, Egypt's cloud-woven glory, speak no more, speak. Two and two do not make four on every shore. Splendors of Greek, Egypt's cloud-woven glory, speak no more, speak, a thread-worn story.
Mm. Hello.
You have a fine day for it. Nothing as nice as tea from a bottle. Aye. Do you prefer to sharpen it long or short?
I sharpen it in such a way as cuts the grass.
As the team's head brass flashed out on the turn, the lovers disappeared into the wood. I sat among the boughs of the fallen elm. Aye. A talk between two men as lovers enter the wood, as if the lovers and the men dying in a far-flung war and the two men talking were in some dream. I held those images inside myself, as if I once witnessed them myself. Should I be the lover, or the ploughman, or the man going off to war? Dreams have a way of working on you through the day. They make you doubt what you have seen, make you wonder if what you see is real at all, if what you've dreamt is a dream at all. What age am I? How can you translate the mystery and coherence of the world? Stare through gaps at ancient Ireland, sweeping in again with all its unbaptized beauty. The calm evening, the white thorn blossoms, the smell from ditches that were not Christian.
Excuse me, sir. Could I trouble you for a drink of water? I'm on the road to Dublin.
There's a bucket of water there by the door.
Aye, that's the job.
Have you been before?
To where, to Dublin? I never have.
I haven't been back since I was a child. Never had the inclination to go back. Slane is as far as I go now. And Dundalk.
I'm wondering if you could spare any few bob.
Sorry, that's all I got on me.
That's grand.
An immortal god, you could very nearly be a schoolmaster. By the look of you.
Strange that you should say that.
There's some fags I might like. Have you got matches?
I have, thanks.
Why is it strange about you looking like a schoolmaster?
Well, my grandfather was a schoolmaster.
Nature breaks out through the eyes of a cat.
Can I take a look at your paper? The Dundalk Democrat. There's a duck belonging to a woman in Maguire's Bridge laying black eggs.
Yeah, I saw that.
She thought radio killed her poultry.
Poultry?
Poultry. Hens and such. Radio killed her hens, Ellen McSweeney, an elderly woman of Carrickmacross, told the justice while the court laughed.
Well, they might.
Ellen McSweeney sued Tom and Peg Power, her neighbours, for £5 for the loss of fowl, affirming her belief that the Powers had some kind of switch on the radio with which to destroy their hens, which were in her outhouse. Tom Power told the justice that his neighbour was always chawing the rag with him about his radio and her poultry. He took no notice of her, believing her to suffer from delusions. The case was dismissed with costs. All week at the Oriel Cinema, King of Jazz. A red-hot riot of love, the musical extravaganza in Technicolor, with Jeannie Lang, the personality girl. Intimate laughs, spicy interludes, blazing beauty. Scenes that'll make you gasp. All piled into this pinnacle of pep.
Ah, yeah. I heard the education now. Flesh
and dwelt amongst us.
Well, good luck on your journey. Hey, schoolmaster, leave that paper after you.
Thank you.
A woman is washing potatoes for the dinner. Chickens on a kitchen floor, white Wyandots like powder puffs. An old man opens a garden gate and looks among the stumps of winter cabbages. Through the unawakened poplar, he lifts his glance to watch a train go by. A tin can rings on the flagstones of a well that's running low. A young man whistles. He stops to ponder over something mislaid and questions a self that is too alive to listen. A girl is leaning over the handlebars of her bicycle and talking through a hedge to a woman who is searching in the nettles with a long pot stick for the turkey's secret eggs. In the clouds, in the still clouds, in the still clouds, in the motionless trees,
in the football that that schoolboy is pumping, holding it between his knees. Profound wisdom is spoken for easy consciences. He does not speak to the girls. He does not see them. He only sees what's unmortal. He does not care if this moment outside time he has lived in should be in time hereafter, time's despair.
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Could I have a drink of water, ma'am?
So I'll tell you no harm.
I love the music the lid of a teapot makes.
You're easily pleased.
My lovely wee child. You're first?
Aye. His father's out in the river.
Hello, wee man. There is a light somewhere under a star. You're too decent. Haven't tasted a morsel of food for 24 hours. Did you ever notice that when a wee small child like this wee man here says at Mass in his mother's arms, everyone in the chapel is drawn to the child's eyes? They're like two stars that people are drawn to. Everything else falls away.
They're a wonder for certain. We were all like that once. Can I look at that book? Homeward Songs by the Way. Nice title.
It's by a poet called A.E. I'm going up to Dublin to meet him.
I moved among men and places, and in living I learned the truth at last. I know I am a spirit, and that I went forth in old time from the self ancestral to labours yet unaccomplished, but filled ever and again with homesickness, I made these songs by the way. A.E.
He's a great man. I turn the lea green down gaily now and paint the meadow brown with my plough. I dream with silvery gull and brazen crow, a thing that is beautiful I may know. Tranquility walk with me and no care. Oh, the quiet ecstasy like a prayer. I find a star, lovely art, in a dark sod. Joy that is timeless, O heart that knows God.
That's grand altogether. Is that one of his?
That's one of me own. It's called The Ploughman.
Isn't that lovely? You're a poet too.
I suppose. It's getting late. Is there an outhouse or a barn where I could throw my bones down?
Go out across the haggard and you'll see the barn. You're welcome to sleep there.
Here's a few coppers for your child.
God bless you in your travels.
I threw myself down on a bank of darkness. The quiet night falling, and the evening star and the young moon and the sighing fields made me feel a strange sadness. There is something in me different from other men and women. I told her I'm a poet, and I am. Blast you, Moon. What are you good for? Even the light you have isn't your own. Maybe it's better to reflect the light of another. A dog barking gives majesty to the night. Aye. I'm not really a writer. I had seen a strange, beautiful light on the hills, and that was all. Maybe my mother was right. What does it all mean, she said. But what does any of it mean? Work, day after day after day after year, the tongue in your mouth is the root of a you. But isn't that the real sin? To tear up the faith and see nothing but futility. In my heart, I want to live the simple life. To marry, found a family, and find immortality as a peasant finds it. Here are primroses, the music-filled silence of little fields in March and April. I could be free and human following a narrow furrow on a hill. The smells, rising from the dry brown clay, a tonic to revive the weariest body, the loneliest spirit. Turning over the soil, our fingers are turning the pages in the book of life. Last year, one day in May, I was standing on the top of one of my little hills and I looked across at the sun-flecked plains of Louth and Meath and knew how fine a thing it was to be alive. The green fields and the simple homes told me of the unchanging beauty of Ireland. At my feet were primroses and violets, a magic carpet on which I could journey over the Baghdads of dreamland. In the hollow, a man was hoeing potatoes. Now and then he looked my way and I knew he was angry with me. He thought me a lazy good-for-nothing.
What the hell are you always dreaming about?
Aye. This man, one of my neighbours, was a realist, and realism untouched by the imagination is a sordid, petty thing. He made me feel that I was just a lazy fool, that all my dreams of beauty and love were only codology. By the heels, he pulled me down from the stars and made me a worm cutter.
A sup of rain would do no harm.
Who wants rain?
Should the cattle are starved for a mouthful of grass. You're an awful man doesn't trim them hedges. You could plough in 3 yards further if them briars were cut.
To hell with the briars.
Did a man like him ever notice butterflies? The man was wise in the ways of the world, but wasn't it easy being wise in that way? Curious how I started off with the right simplicity, indifferent to crude reason, and then ploughed my way through complexities and anger, hatred and ill will towards the faults of man, and came back to where I started. For one of the very earliest things I wrote started this way. Child, do not go into the dark places of soul, for there the grey wolves whine. The lean grey wolves. In that little thing, I had become airborne and more. For you are driving your horses through the mist where Genesis begins.
Oh, the heart that is loath never truly forgets, but as truly lives on to the close, as the sunflower turns on her god as he sets, the same look that she gave when he rose. Oh, the heart that has loath never truly forgets, but it truly lives on to the close.
A referee, you're a disgrace.
Your team's not winning by the sound of it.
Every referee in County Meath is against us. You're not from these parts.
Nope. Just passing through.
Do you play yourself?
In goal. For Inniskeen Rovers. Up in Monaghan.
Never heard of it.
Well, we're the oldest club in Monaghan.
Still never heard of it. Referee, why don't you put on their jersey altogether? Passing through, you said?
Aye. Walking to Dublin. I haven't had food all day. And I've no money.
When this is over, I'll fix you up something back at home. I give you money, Uni. My father is a main man. He'd lift a halfpenny out of cow dung with his teeth.
No, it's all right.
Don't pay any heed to that clock. It never told the truth in its life.
Well, the sun rises and sets, whether the clocks are right or wrong. The mystery of eternity stretching back is the same as its mystery stretching forward. He did not love nature's works, but he was in love with them, and he wished he wasn't. For these things always made him sad, reminding him of something far and forgotten in the land of childhood, before the fall of man. O leafy yellowness, you create for me a world that was and now is poised above time. I do not need to puzzle out eternity as I walk this arboreal street on the edge of a town. The breeze, too, even the temperature and pattern of movement is precisely the same as broke my heart for youth passing. Now I am sure of something. Something will be mine wherever I am. I want to throw myself on the public street without caring for anything but the prayering that the earth offers. It is October over all my life, and the light is staring as it caught me once in a plantation by the fox coverts. A man is ploughing the ground for winter wheat, and my 19 years weigh heavily on my feet. The birds sat in the wet trees, and as I listened to them, it was 100 years from now. And I was dead. And someone else was listening to them. But I was glad I had recorded for him the melancholy. I'm now 10 miles from Dublin. Left foot very sore. Can get everything but money. Have just talked to 2 children going to school, a boy and a girl. Cromwell was their name. From my home in Mucker to Mullaghcroo to RD to Ballapoosta to Labby Crossroads to Grangegeath to Slane to Ashburn and onwards to Dublin. I arrived in Dublin at 2:30. I was more helpless than a bull in the mist. The Dublin police are the scourge of tramps, worse than blisters. But I kept my head down and made my way straight for the National Library.
Can I help you, sir?
Aye, hello. Where does A.E. hang out?
A.E.?
They didn't know.
Ooh.
They tried to give the impression that they did.
I know where he used to live.
I'm sure I know that myself. Maybe you could give me the address of another poet.
I have the address of Oliver St. John Gogarty.
Is that the best you can do? Ach, sure, I'll go where he used to live. Maybe there's something of him left. Have you a copy of The Wasteland?
Is that a book about drainage?
A book about drainage? Right, aye.
Get you shot, Anna. It's like the hole there.
Excuse me. Do you know where A.E. lives?
He's across the square. Number 15.
I've tasted the road. Will I ever go back? So now, my gentle tiger burning, in the forest of no yearning, walk on serenely, do not mind that promised land you thought to find. Where the worldly wise and rich take over the mundane problems of the lover. Ignore power's schismatic sect. Lovers alone, lovers protect. Man innocently dabbles in words and rhymes and finds that it is his life.
We've been listening to Eternal Lanes of Joy, written and directed by Pat Collins. Michael Murphy played Patrick Kavanagh. Catherine Walsh played Mrs. Kavanagh. Rosaline Linehan played the old woman. John McCardle played the farmer, and the blacksmith was played by John Connors. Charlene McKenna played the young woman. Eamon Owens played the young man. And the librarian was played by Eamon Hunt. You also heard the voices of Tristan Rosenstock and Sinead Ní Uillechán. Special thanks to Darren McCreesh, manager of the Patrick Kavanagh Centre, to the centre's staff and community, to Joe Callan, Sean O'Byrne, Art Agnew and Una Agnew, all of whom gave expert advice on recording locations and the path taken by Patrick Kavanagh in 1931. The centre also supported a research period for Pat Collins for the writing of the script. Recordings were made on location at Chantonee Farm with the kind permission of Darren McCreesh. Special thanks to Joanne Brennan. Special thanks also to Liz Tracy, Catherine Manning, Elga Hick and Miriam Donoghue from the RTE Costume Department for finding the perfect pair of hobnail boots for our location recordings. Sound recordings were by Damien Chanel and Tom Norton. Wildlife recordings were by Chris Watson. Additional recordings were by Mike McCartney. Sound design was by Damien Chanel and Chris Watson. The composer was Irene Buckley. Eternal Lanes of Joy by Pat Collins was produced by Kevin Brew. The series producer of Drama on One is Kevin Reynolds. Extra production support was by Goretti Slaven. For permission to cite the words of Patrick Kavanagh, we are grateful for the kind permission of the trustees of the estate of the late Catherine B. Kavanagh through the Jonathan Williams Literary Agency. Research for tonight's programme was funded by Creative Monaghan. The programme was funded by Cumasú na mBean with the television licence fee. To listen back to Eternal Lanes of Joy, have a look at rte.ie/drama-on-one. And on the RTE Lyric FM website, the Lyric feature produced by Owen O'Kelly has a related feature on Kavanagh entitled Until a World Comes to Life.
rte.ie/drama-on-one.